2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I used to wrestle with that last clause of the fourth verse, because I didn't understand. You might well bear with him. What he's saying is, in verse 1 he says, I wish you could bear with me a little in my folly, because I'm afraid you might well bear with somebody else who is a fool. Meaning, I'm the apostle, and I'm, you know, he'd finished the last verse, it's not he that commends himself, but whom the Lord commendeth. That's who's approved. Some people come as fools, preaching foolish things. And people listen to them, in spite of the fact that what they're saying is absolutely not the truth. It is foolish. It's not profitable. But people listen anyways. As Paul said in another place, in Timothy, you know, hey, the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves after their own lusts teachers, because their ears are itchy. You know, they have itching ears. They want to hear stuff. I want to take you and show you the deeper truths of the Bible, hidden beneath what you think you read. You think you read one thing. No, that's not what it really says. What it really says is, and this is, the funny thing is that this little section here is a perfect example of the way in which the Word of God is being perverted by some. So Paul's acting a little foolish, in a sense. It may seem, you know, he has a lot of confidence in the Corinthians, but on the other hand, he worries about them. Sometimes he says things that are kind of foolish because he's answering fools. I mean, you know, some people come forward and say, well, you have to have certain qualifications to teach the Word of God. Right? Where'd you get your doctorate from, Paul? Someone asked me. Where'd you get your ordination? What seminary did you go to? Right? And this is foolish. Now, in order to answer that, I have to enter into their folly. To talk about those things. And then also to answer, what are my qualifications? Because my qualifications can sound even more foolish. I say, God put me up to it. God taught me. I didn't go to a seminary. Well, that's really foolish. That's not how I go around to people. But in as much as they are always touting their degrees, and they're always touting their qualifications and their commendations, I know who commends me. So I have the right to say so. Even if I do think it is a bit foolish, I'd just rather teach the truth than talk about me. And that's what Paul talks about himself, but it's because other people are talking about themselves and their qualifications, and he has to sort of answer that. Well, Paul, what's your qualification? You know? So bear with me in my folly, he's saying. Because I'm afraid you might bear with some other fool. Bear with me. Give me a chance first. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Not all jealousy is evil. There is godly jealousy. Like the jealousy you have over the truth. You jealously guard it against robbery, against those who would pervert it and take it away from the minds of the simple. I'm jealous over the people that God has given into my charge, that their minds should not be perverted, you know. This isn't jealous in the sense of envy, but in the sense of zeal. But zeal can also be bad. So, you know, and just like anything, you know, there is a covetousness that is good. Covet the greater gifts. Don't covet another man's gift. You know, but we want to ask, when we go to God, say, God, I really want a great gift. There's nothing good about saying, God, well, I don't want anything. If you give me something, I'd be responsible for it, and I'd rather just have nothing. Just save me, that's good enough for me. You're not exhibiting the proper zeal. For I have espoused, you know, I have engaged you to be married to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You know, chaste virgin implying without sin, implying true, faithful, not running after this doctrine or that doctrine. He means it in a figurative sense. It's interesting that this next verse is going to be taken by some as a very literal sense. And I see why they go that way. As far as I see that it's easy to push someone that way. But it is not necessary to go that way. Especially when you consider we have the account of Genesis that tells us what happened. You know, there's a, you know, when in the Old Testament God talked about his people being faithful to them, he compared it to marriage and faithfulness. And then when they would go after idols, they would go whoring after their idols, and they were committing adultery against him. In a spiritual sense, you know, in a figurative sense. And sometimes there was literal fornication and so on going on with the idols, but it was not the literal, but the figurative that he was talking about. Though literal sin, whether it be fornication or some other form of wickedness, that is also rebellion and adultery against God, so to speak. If you're supposed to be, if you are espoused to him, if you are supposed to be faithful to him, when we sin, it's like we are being unfaithful. Because he has not espoused us to be servant to sin and servant to Christ. He has espoused us to have one master.